Would you just think about that for a moment? Jesus died for me. Each one of us can say that. It's a sobering thought. It should fill our hearts with gratefulness. Hopefully you have the notes that go with the message today, and we will be going through a lot of verses of Scripture, but all surrounding a thought from Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, 11, 17, 29, chapter 3, verse 6, 13, and 22, that all say exactly the same thing. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And you notice he says, unto the churches, plural, which means we have to listen to everything he said to all of the churches. It all applies to us. We're going to talk about hearing today with spiritual ears. Let's pray and prepare ourselves for the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the Word, the truth, the Scripture, the Gospel, the message. Direct from your heart. I pray that we will have the ability to hear with understanding and grasp all that you have given to us, that we may apply it well and be useful to you for your purposes as a local church. Bless these truths to our hearts as we consider them today, and I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many sounds in the world. The Bible refers to some of them, such as the bleating of sheep and the neighing of a horse and millstones grinding and waters running and horses running. We formulate sounds into audible words, and we refer to hearing what someone says. But hearing sounds is not the only way that one hears. Hearing words can be something entirely different, because words can be communicated through means other than audible sounds. For example, you have in front of you a printed sheet. And there are words on the page. And as we read these words off the page, whether we hear them in our ears or not, we need to hear them in our hearts with understanding. That's what Jesus is talking about in these verses of Scripture in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. That's what he means in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 when he says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Not that we can hear audible sounds, but that we can hear with our heart and hear with our spirit and understand and grasp the truth and get a hold of it so that it has an influence upon our lives. Jesus says to the churches, you must have an ear. He's not talking about these things on our heads. He's talking about something on the inside of us, so that we can hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It's not the ability to detect sounds that he's concerned about. It's the ability to understand what he means by what he says, so that we will be wise and be able to make wise use of the things he has said. Christ ends each letter to the churches in Revelation with this admonition. And we need to listen carefully with our mind and with our understanding so that we can grasp all that he has to say to the churches. and grasp all that he has to say to all of the churches. And then apply these things to our church, to us as a people. We need spiritual ears to hear what Christ is saying. He addresses this subject of hearing a great deal in the scripture, and that is the substance of our consideration this morning. The matter of hearing, not the ability to detect audible sounds, the ability to understand and grasp the truth. Some people cannot hear at all. He says in Acts chapter 28, verses 26 and 27, saying, "Go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand." It kind of goes to what he spoke to Isaiah, the prophet, in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah said, "Hear my Lord, send me." And Isaiah was such a willing volunteer, and God says, "Okay, I'm going to send you to a people that are not going to listen to what you have to say. They're not going to see what you have to show them. They're not going to understand with their heart anything you tell them." How would you like to be a prophet going into a ministry like that? What's the use? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 21, he says, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord." In Galatians 4:21, he says, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?" Imagine a policeman pulling over a speeder. And the policeman goes to the car and begins to address the speeder. And the speeder says, "But officer, I'm a law-abiding citizen." "Oh yeah? Don't you see the sign? Do you read the law? Do you hear the law?" "But I'm obeying the law. I haven't run into anybody. I haven't hurt anyone. I haven't damaged my car. I've stayed on the road. No one is hurt." He has his own interpretation of what it means to be a law-abiding citizen. That was the way it was with the people in Jesus' day. They had their own interpretation of what it meant to be a law-abiding citizen, and yet they didn't actually hear the law itself. We may be amazed at how many people read the Bible and don't get it. They read the Bible and think that they are a Christian, and yet they haven't begun to hear what God has said in this book on these pages. He says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11, "And this is to a group of believers, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, "We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us." It is logical that if you are of God, you will be paying attention and listening to and understanding what he has said. But there are those that are totally disconnected. You can quote Bible verses to them, and it doesn't mean a thing to them. They don't get it because they're not on the same frequency. You know, the radio dial, you turn that little knob and that needle runs across the dial and you can come across all different kinds of frequencies. course, if you have a radio that only is programmed to receive AM frequencies, then it's impossible for you to get the FM radio stations, isn't it? Well, that's what it's like with an unbeliever. An unbeliever is like a person with an AM radio that can't hear the FM frequencies. God is on FM, and the unbeliever only has AM. He can't get the frequency. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. He can't grasp it. But let's say you do get that FM frequency. And you hear, when you hear actually what God is saying, then you have some choices to make. Proverbs 15, verse 32 says, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." Here's your choice. Are you going to hear reproof, or are you going to refuse instruction? There are times that I've had folks in my office, they've come to me for counseling, and I would say, "This is what the Bible says." And they say, "That doesn't apply to me." They refuse instruction rather than hear reproof. Ecclesiastes 7:5 says, "It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools." There are lots of songs of fools in this world. And we can apply that to a lot of contexts. Phew. Not just in the area of music, although that is certainly one area we could apply it. How many songs of fools do we listen to in a week's time? Let's be honest. The songs of fools are even infiltrating the news networks now. And lots of times we'd be better off not listening to some of the news because of the songs of the fools that they sing in the broadcasting of the news. Lots of times it's not telling us what happened at all. It's telling us what they think is going to happen or why they think it did happen instead of telling us what actually happened. News isn't news anymore. It's more opinion. And we subject ourselves to the songs of fools in all kinds of contexts. To the things we listen to the things that we read in magazines and in books, and the things that we talk about in conversations with people. Let's be honest. But what happens when we're listening to the songs of fools? We are consuming time that ought to be submitting our ears to the rebuke of the wise or in the instruction of the word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." We need to have a receptiveness to the word of God in receiving it in the proper way, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Picking up this book and opening it with awe and saying, "Wow, this actually came from the mind and heart of God. It is worth listening to." Sometimes people choose to listen to the wrong things. The instruction comes in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 27. "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. When we listen to those songs of fools, they're often filled with instruction or suggestions or directives that suggest things to our minds that ultimately cause us to err from the words of knowledge. We need to be cautious about that. Proverbs 19:12, if a ruler hearken to lies. You know, those who are in the ultimate seats of authority, I imagine, have many voices around them, suggesting to them, let's do this and let's do that and let's do the other thing, and giving to them all kinds of complimentary things. Oh, you are this and you are that and you can do this and you can do that. And if we do this, this will happen if we do this. That. Can you imagine the voices that surround someone who is in that ultimate seat of authority? Why would a ruler listen to lies? The same reason any of us might choose to listen to lies when they suggest to us things that make us feel good rather than confront us with the truth. We don't have to listen to lies. It's a choice. Notice it says, if a ruler hearken to lies. If he does. He doesn't have to. It's a choice he makes. Proverbs 29:24. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bewrayeth it not. That word bewray is a very interesting old English word. If you look it up in Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, Noah Webster says that that word is obsolete. Well, if it was obsolete in 1828, what is it today? But it is in that dictionary, and it does have a definition, and it means to conceal something. He heareth cursing, and he does not conceal it. He gives himself over to it. He is open to it. He's not ashamed of it. Boy, when we come to the point where we are listening to things like cursing and we're willing to, we've reached a low point in our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Sometimes we choose to listen to things that actually ruin us and ruin our spirituality and damage us. Like Lot in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them, referring to Lot, living in the city of Sodom, in the seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Lot was listening to all of the songs of the fools every day. His mind was filled with the slobber of immorality and ungodliness. And it vexed him. His righteous soul. He was a saved man. And yet he constantly and unendingly exposed himself to all of the voices of the world and everything that was opposed to righteousness in God. He felt bad every day because of what he was listening to. You ever get to the point where you just get tired of listening to what's going on in the world? It's, I get so tired of it. Well, don't listen to it. Doesn't that seem like a logical solution? How many of you have a radio? Look at that. We all have radios. When you listen to the radio, you can turn the dial, can't you? I mean, the radio that you have doesn't have only one station, does it? I sort of remember, speaking to my wife, years and years ago, didn't your father have a radio that only had WDAC on it? That's the only thing it could get? I sort of remember that, because that's the only thing he allowed his family to listen to. That was years and years ago. That would be pretty neat if you had a radio. It only had one station. That's all you could get. But unfortunately, radios aren't made like that, typically. There's all kinds of stations. How many stations are there on a radio that you could listen to? Turn the dial. And you know there's that station that has all that junk on it. And you just get curious about that. Just out of curiosity, you turn it over there and listen to it. And then you just kind of grit your teeth and, oh, look what the horrible world is doing. Without realizing, it's vexing your righteous soul all the time you're listening to that junk. What are you doing to yourself? Because you're lending your ears to the wrong things. Even if you hear the right things, you may have the wrong response. Psalm 95, verses 7 and 8. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Why would a person harden his heart when he hears the voice of God? Because he doesn't like what God is telling him. Well, we wouldn't be like that, would we? Have you ever read a verse of scripture and wished it wasn't there? Because you knew it was telling you the truth and it applied to you? Anyway, well, I'm going to forget about that one. Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. You might hear the law of righteousness and then turn your ear away from it. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 16. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. God told the people of Israel in the wilderness over and over again the right thing. And yet they turn right around and provoke the Lord, do things purposely to irritate him. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You might hear God's word and not mix what you hear with faith. And then it doesn't do you any good. Just hearing the right thing doesn't guarantee anything. You have to have the right response to what you hear. Believing what you hear requires an active response. James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We may have a hard time relating to the illustration that's being given in this particular passage of Scripture because we have so many pictures of ourselves. And we have so many mirrors in our houses. And the mirrors are very clear, and we're constantly seeing our own face. You have to realize that the mirrors they're talking about are mirrors that are not clear as glass, but more like polished brass, so that you get an imperfect image of yourself. But it would not be something that every household would necessarily possess, or that they would possess in great numbers. And they didn't have cameras so that they could take photographs of themselves, and they didn't have computers so that you could run slideshows on your computer screen all day long and look at yourself at all of the places you visited. And knowing what you look like was not really a common thing. If they would come to one of those nice clear glass mirrors like we have today, they'd look at themselves and say, "Who's that?" So they get an imperfect image of themselves once in a while in a mirror, and they go away, and they really don't have a clear understanding of what they look like, and they couldn't describe themselves to you because they've never really seen themselves clearly. They forget what they did see in that imperfect image. Well, he says in verse 25, "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work," that's the way it ought to be, because here's the potential problem in verse 24. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." We should not be forgetting what's in the Word of God, but we look into the perfect law of liberty, we continue in that, we don't forget what we heard, we do what we heard. There needs to be an active response to affirm that we get it. Psalm 18, verse 44, "As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me." Proverbs 1:5, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning." Ephesians 1:13, "In whom all ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth," the gospel of your salvation, "in whom also after that ye believed." You hear and then you believe. Philippians 4:9, "These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do." 2 Timothy 1:13, "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me." You hear them, then you hold fast to them. There needs to be a response. The truth requires an active response to affirm that you actually get it. Now, some of you have a clock radio. It also serves as a clock. How many of you have your alarm set on the radio so you don't wake up to this? You have the radio set so that when the alarm goes off, the radio comes on and it plays Christian preacher preaching a sermon at you to wake you up. Wouldn't that be that? Maybe, can we arrange for the sermons to be on CDs so it will wake them up in the morning? And so you set the alarm. The word comes on. It's being preached into your ears. How many of you ever slept through an alarm? The alarm went off. You never heard it. You went right through it. What is the intent of an alarm? That it solicit a response from you. That when the alarm goes off, the radio comes on, you awaken, you get out of bed, and you get busy. The Word of God requires a response. That when you hear it, you do it. When you hear it, you obey it. When you hear it, you learn something. When you hear it, you believe it. When you hear it, you hold fast to it. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, "When you hear it, you then commit it to other people." Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, when you hear it, then you give the more earnest heed to it. 2 John verse 6, when you hear it, then you walk in it. There's no excuse for not hearing. Jesus said to the churches, he that hath an ear. The problem is not that the sound waves do not exist. The problem is not that the word is not available. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? The problem is not that hearing is not possible. Proverbs 20 verse 12, the hearing ear the Lord hath made. Romans 10 verse 18, but I say unto you, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. The prophets spoke the word. God had it written down. He's made it available to us. Preachers are on the radio all over the world. There are Christian radio stations everywhere you go. There are churches everywhere in the United States. The availability of the truth is there. The radio signals are in the air. The availability is for sure. It's up to you to turn the radio on. So he says you must be prepared to hear. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the scriptures, what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1 says, hear ye children, instruct the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. He uses that word again in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1, where he says, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Attend. Attend. The word attend, as it is used in these passages, is related to the concept of attention. Attention. And what he's saying is in Proverbs 4:1, hear ye children the instruction of the father, and pay attention to no understanding. Pay attention. Pay attention. You can sort of be aware that somebody is saying something, and the sounds are reaching your eardrums, but if you're not paying attention, you don't grasp what they're saying. Sometimes this happens when we sing hymns. Our mouths are moving. We're vocalizing the words. And we get about halfway through the third verse, and we realize we have no idea what we've sung. Have you had that experience? Because we're not paying attention. Sometimes I'll turn the radio on in my car, and I want to get the weather. It's about time for the news to come on. You know, the local station has a 5 minutes of news, and then they have the weather right at the end of that. And I'll turn it on, and I know the news, but my mind is going this way and that way. And the next thing you know, they had already given the weather, and I never heard it. I wasn't paying attention. I wonder how much of this book we are not paying attention to.
we're not listening. We're not consciously paying attention. And God is trying to tell us something. And we don't get it.
If you'll pick up your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. The thing we must avoid is this. Second Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. It is possible for those of us who are in the church to give way to this desire within us to hear things that please us. And if we're not hearing it where we are, we'll go someplace where we can hear what we want to hear, not what we need to hear. We must have the boldness in our hearts to make a distinction between those two things. What do I want to hear and what do I need to hear? And pray for God's grace to pay attention to what we need to hear from the Word of God to keep us on the path of righteousness for His name's sake. You know where that station is on the radio that teaches the truth. You need to have the boldness to turn the dial so that your heart is tuned to the voice of God. Do we have ears for the truth? We must, as a church, have ears for the truth. If we are going to be, as a local church, what God wants us to be. There are many voices in Christendom. There are many voices telling us many different things about what to believe and how to be a church. There are many frequencies that we can turn to. But Jesus is asking us to keep our ears turned to His voice and His voice alone. And if we will do that, we can be faithful and be a church whose candlestick burns brightly, that brings glory to God and unsaved people to salvation in Christ. Will we pledge together as a group, as a body of believers, to have ears that are tuned to hear the voice of Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the admonition of this message, of this statement that Jesus gave to each of the churches. Lord, there are many things that we could listen to, even within the realm of the church in this world today. There are many ideas of how to be a church and many thoughts on what to believe. And many different suggestions on how to live the Christian life. But Lord, I pray that we would receive your word as it is in truth, your word. And may we have ears that are tuned solely to the voice of our Savior, and the voice of our God. Give us the boldness to stand firm in what we hear from you and to resist the voices of men who would lead us astray. We pray for this grace in Jesus' name. Amen.